It's a skill set. I mean, we've been studying it for, I've been doing this work for 20 years, the last 7 years, really looking at courage and leadership specifically. Four skill sets. Can you rumble with vulnerability? Can you stay in tough things when they get uncomfortable and awkward, or do you tap out?
Those that recognize that voice are probably as excited as I am right now. That is the voice of five-time best-selling author Brené Brown, and she'll be joining us to give us seven super tips on today's Super You podcast.
It's one small step for man.
Liftoff. We have a
liftoff. We choose to go to the moon, not because they are easy, but because they
are
hard.
I have a dream.
You can't handle the truth.
7.
6.
5.
4.
3.
2.
1.
Super, 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 super.
Super You. Hey everyone, thank you for joining us for today's Super You podcast. Special treat today. It's the third time that Brené Brown's going to give us tips. And she's made a career out of understanding that she believes that the only way to get to courage is through shame and vulnerability. So she broke that ceiling for us many years ago with her famous TED Talk, and she's gone on to famous big time things. You've probably seen her Netflix special. If you haven't, it's worth checking out. But thank you for joining us for today's Super You podcast. As you know, this is a podcast designed to unlock and unleash the superpower in all of us. Thanks all of you for reading my new book, The Focus Project, as we kick off 2021. It's through focus that we can achieve our goals, happiness, success, and fulfillment. So thank you for the letters you keep sending in. Thank you for the emails you send in saying that the book is helping you out. Thank you for reading the book, and thanks for sharing it with a friend. But here we are with Brené Brown, and she's going to give us seven super tips.
So hard. I thought doing this research, I thought going into it, there were authentic people and inauthentic people.
Mm-hmm.
I did not find any evidence of that at all. What I found is authenticity is a practice, and you choose it every day, sometimes every hour of every day. And it's a practice. It's not, I just wake up and hey, I'm authentic. It's that when you walk into a meeting, you have to make the choice. Am I going to show up and let myself be seen? Am I going to raise my hand and say, wow, y'all look super excited. I don't know what in the hell you're talking about. I'm so lost. You know, that's a choice.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Why aren't we always authentic? Because sometimes it's the hardest thing for us to do. We talk about on the show stepping into your story, and it's very uncomfortable at first to step into your story. But long term, it's the most comfortable place that we can be. So do as Brené says, let's be authentic this week, let's be authentic this year, and let's step truly into our story. Moving on to tip number two with Brené Brown.
I don't think you can truly change for the better in a lasting, meaningful way unless it is driven by self-acceptance. So I think being the shit out of yourself for performance, which, you know, I work with a lot of sports people now, like it works.
Mm-hmm.
And if all you have to do is pay someone for one season or all you do is one game or one whatever, you're okay. But lasting, meaningful change has to be driven by self-acceptance.
In this tip, Brené makes a great point that you have to truly love yourself to achieve big things. That's very hard for us to do. And that's why in the show, that's the main point of the show, is for us to say and to stress the point that none of us are perfect, but we're perfectly made. And so we need to understand, we can't look at someone and go, I can't believe I'm not as fast as that person, or as smart as that person, or as tall as that person, or as good looking as that person. At the end of the day, we need to do more stuff that makes us perfectly us, or to do more stuff that makes you who you are. I mean, Dr. Seuss puts it probably the best, and I'll probably get this wrong, but he says, today you are you, that is truer than true. There is no one alive who is youer than you. When you change who you are to impress others, you're still being yourself. You're just being that you that is scared of what others think. Here we are with tip number three.
The thing is, I don't care what people think. I don't worry about the critics in the arena. It sends a huge red flag up for me. We're hardwired for connection. When we stop caring what people think, we lose our capacity for connection. When we become defined by what people think, we lose our capacity to be vulnerable. not caring what people think is its own kind of hustle. Trust me. So rather than locking these folks out from the arena, what I'm going to invite you to do, this way maybe, is reserve seats for them, which doesn't seem like a good thing to do. But I have 13,000 pieces of data, and I've done this work for 12 years. And what I have found and what I have learned from these folks and then try to apply it in my own life that has changed my life is to reserve a seat, to take the critics to lunch, and to simply say when I'm trying to do something new and hard and original and I'm trying to be creative and I'm trying to innovate, to say, I see you, I hear you, but I'm going to show up and do this anyway. And I've got a seat for you, and you're welcome to come, but I'm not interested in your feedback.
This tip's a little tricky because I think it depends on what's in your DNA, what's your chemical makeup. I know I've sat down with some top athletes, and they actually use it as fuels when people say, you can't do this. Or you look at Michael Phelps, or you look at Patrick Mahomes. When someone tells them they can't do something, it inspires them to push it to that next level. So you got to figure out what works best for you. As for me, I definitely want to hear the critics. And so I kind of disagree at the end for me personally when she says, I don't want to hear you. I do listen to critical feedback, but it's up to me to be able to accept it or not. Now, some people can't handle that, so you should shut it off. But for some reason, I can kind of take it in, and a lot of times I have empathy for that person if they're personally attacking me. Then I just go, man, they must be in a really bad place, and I say some prayer for them or I'm empathetic for them. But I definitely listen to their feedback. I don't want to be surrounded by a bunch of yes men or yes women. I want to know, even if the person hates my work, like there might be something in there that could help me improve my work. And so anyways, again, great advice from Brené. But I think it's really dependent on the type of personality you have, how much you let in and how much you block off. Here's tip number 4 from Brené Brown, author of Dare to Lead.
Yeah, I mean, I think when we think leader, we think like pinstripes and shoulder pads and the C-suite office. And the truth is, I've been in those offices and couldn't find a leader to save my life. And I've been around everyday people that would never identify as a leader and been surrounded by them. So I define a leader as any person who holds themselves accountable for finding the potential in people and processes and has the courage, the guts to develop that potential. And that's all of us. I mean, I recently asked John Meacham, I said, what would you say to people who don't think they're leaders? And he said, then you don't understand democracy. We all have to lead. Wow. And so I loved that. I think We're all leaders.
Very well said, Brené. Isn't that true? We are all leaders. Now, obviously, she's talking about traditional leadership, but a lot of people ask me, my subject matter expertise is digital leadership. And I always say, digital leaders are made, they're not born. That's right. All of us are leaders. Digital leaders are made, they are not born. Here we are with tip number 5.
It's a skill set. I mean, we've been studying it I've been doing this work for 20 years, the last 7 years, really looking at courage and leadership specifically. 4 skill sets. Can you rumble with vulnerability? Can you stay in tough things when they get uncomfortable and awkward, or do you tap out? Mm-hmm. 2, and this is a hard one, living into your values. Are you clear about what your values are, and have you operationalized those into behaviors? Do you know what behaviors support your values, what don't? 3, braving trust. Can you build trust and be trustworthy? Mm-hmm. And the last one, which I think was really interesting, was learning how to get back up, learning how to rise. Because we found that people are more willing to be courageous up front if they know how to rise.
Rise up. Isn't that the secret of life? Rise up. We're going to have Jake. I'm going to have Jake put in here, Andrea Days, because I'm singing the song Rise Up right now. I love that song. So he's going to put it in here, weave it in here. But we need to get Angela Duckworth. I've been on the stage with her a couple times recently in her book all about grit. What's the common denominator around successful people? One thing, grit. It's that grit. It's that grind. It's Brené just mentioned. Are you going to get up? You know, when you get knocked down, it's really the question of, how high are you going to bounce back up? So hopefully all of you are rising back up in 2021. Here we are with tip number 6.
This should be a pedagogy of itself. What is the one variable that people who can really lean into joy share in common? It is part of vulnerability, but it's actually a practice. Gratitude. The only variable that really separates men and women who cannot lean into joy, who start dress rehearsing tragedy, and the reason we dress rehearse tragedy is so we can beat vulnerability to the punch. So what we do is like, oh, this great thing's happening. I'm gonna start picturing worst case scenario so that when I get hurt and it happens, I'm all prepared for it, right? But how many of you think we can actually prepare for that? You cannot. 50% of the people in this room have probably experienced the thing that we dress rehearse, and they could come up here one at a time and tell you, you can practice that all you want. That will do nothing to help you when that moment comes. The only thing you're doing is squandering the joy that you need that builds a reservoir for when hard things happen. So as it turns out, our bodies really neurobiologically experience joy as vulnerability and threat, and we quiver. And so some of us use the quiver as a warning sign to start thinking about terrible things, and others use that quiver as a reminder to be grateful.
When in doubt, be grateful. Attitude of gratitude. When I was backstage with Brene, she actually went a little deeper on the concept. It is impossible. Apparently, the research shows that it's impossible to be angry when you're grateful. So whenever in a tight spot, whenever you're stuck, whenever you're angry, just be grateful for something. It could be very small. It could be just that you're alive. It could be that it's the sun shining. It could be that the kids were dropped off by the bus on time. Just find something to be grateful, and that'll help you reset. Speaking of resetting, here we are with our final tip, tip number 7.
This is the developmental milestone of midlife. From late 30s to, you know, through probably your 60s, this is the question. You know, this is when the universe comes down and puts her hands on your shoulders and pulls you close and whispers in your ear, I'm not fucking around. You're halfway to dead. The armor is keeping you from growing into the gifts I've given you. That is not without penalty. Time is up. So this is what you see happen to people in midlife. And it's not a crisis. It's a slow, brutal unraveling. And this is where everything that we thought protected us keeps us from being the partners, the parents, the professionals, the people that we want to be.
Now, Brene's speaking specifically about a midlife crisis, but you don't have to be hitting midlife. It's any point in your life that you have that wake-up call, and we get them periodically throughout our lives. Almost that shaking, that someone metaphorically is shaking our shoulders and saying, look, time is short. Do it. Get it now. Do it. Go for it. Don't wait. Tomorrow might not come. So my hope is that this podcast is serving as that for you. Maybe today's podcast is the one that says, boom, I'm going to knock this out. 2021 started. I forgot my New Year's resolutions, or I haven't achieved them. I've already quit on them. And now it's shaking me going, hey, let's reset. Let's get back to it. So those are 7 super tips from the one and only Brene Brown. My favorite tip, I always like to go over my favorite tip, was number 5. Anytime you have me thinking about an awesome song like Rise Up, and isn't that great, just rise up today. Anytime you have that song, thinking about it, gets playing in your head, that's always a good sign. That's always a good tip. Anyways, I hope throughout the day, this is ringing in your ears as well. But thank you for joining us for today's Super You Podcast. I am your host, Eric Quammen. Most of you know me as Equal Man. And until next time, reminding all of us, it is not what we take from the world. It is what we leave behind. Special thanks to some of the shows that inspire us and make some of this all possible. And please check these out. The Oprah Winfrey Network, Tim Ferriss, 99U, The Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon, CBS This Morning, South by Southwest Education. These are all great resources that we encourage you to check out.
7
6
5
4
3 2
1
Super, 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 super,
super you.